Rush not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I can't imagine a verse with more positives than that. He's got a lot of shalls and wheels in there. Amen. Sounds like the guy's got his mind made up. Sounds like the man has faith and confidence in God. Amen. So what I would like to preach about this morning is how to turn a loss into a win. How to turn a loss into a win. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. In the writings of Paul, several places, Paul uses the analogy of a race to explain the Christian life. He said it's like running a race, like being involved in a relay. So life is a race. We sometimes call it the rat race. Now, if you join a rat race, I'm not sure what that says about you. Personally, I don't want to be a rat. So I think I'm just going to stay out of that part of it. But life is like a race. It's very similar to that. Roger Bannister, the man that broke the four-minute mile, was the first to run a sub-four-minute mile, is accredited with this saying. He said, every morning on the African plains, a gazelle awakens with the thought that he's got to outrun the fastest lion if he's going to survive. The same time, a lion awakens on the same plain with the sure knowledge that he has to outrun at least the slowest gazelle if he's going to have dinner and he's going to be able to continue to live. So whether you're a lion or a gazelle, the fact is you got to wake up with running on your mind. Amen. You got to wake up with running on your mind. Every one of us here today, we got to have a made-up mind. Amen. We're either in the rat race or we're either going to be in the Christian race. But you're going to be in a race. And you've got to make up your mind that you're going to win. You're in this to the last. Amen. You don't have to be the fastest. Amen. But you got to just keep getting up. Amen. That's what Micah is trying to explain to us today. Micah lived in a time in the history of Israel when it was not a good time to be an Israelite. This was not one of the shining times of their history. As a matter of fact, he was living in the time when God actually brought judgment against the northern kingdoms of Israel. And they literally were put under a subjection and they were conquered by the enemy, the Assyrians. And they went into captivity, and until now, only God knows where those people are. Because it was the end for the northern tribes and the northern kingdoms. And so they went into captivity, and we do not know exactly what happened to them. So Micah was riding against that backdrop. But you hear me today, before God sends judgment, things have to get real bad. And things had gotten to a very serious condition. Let's look at it just a moment. In the second verse, Micah said, the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with the net. So the society had become violent, and they literally would take nets and they would capture people and sell them into slavery. It was a tragic time that Israel had come to this point, and violence on every hand. I think there's a similar parallel there to our North American culture. When we are arriving quickly at a time when violence is more and more a part of our society. It's a tragic thing that we're seeing come to pass in this land that has been so very blessed of God through the years. Verse number 3, he said, that they may do evil with both hands, earnestly. With both hands. I mean, they're all into it. They're given evil all they have. They have given themselves over to the carnal, the sinful nature, and they're doing everything they can to go after it. And then he explains, he begins with the prince, the most respected, the most influential, the government, the ruling party. He said, I can't trust my governors anymore. I can't trust my political leaders anymore. They're in it for themselves. They're in it for what they can get out of it. They are not serving the people any longer. They're not looking out for the people any longer. They're only looking out for themselves. It has come to that. It's a tragic, tragic, terrifying situation that he has found himself in here. And he said the judge asked for a reward. So you can't go to the courts. You can't trust in the judicial system because it has become also for sale to the highest bidder. Whoever will pay the most is the one that's going to win. Has nothing to do with justice, he said, because the judicial department has been sold out to the highest bidder. And then he talks about the great man, those that are reverenced and those that are respected. He said he utters mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. Every one of them, all those that you should be able to trust in, he said you can't trust in any of them. It's a tragic situation in Israel. He said the best of them is as a briar. Now, of course, we know that a briar is it's a thorn or a sticker. We have a lot of stickers around here, don't we? You get a step on a sticker, you're going to know it right away. But in West Texas, we had what we call goat heads. Anybody know what a goat head is? Now, that's a serious sticker. You step on a sticker, you go, ooh, ow. You step on a goat head and you howl. It'll go right through your shoe. And boy, it's painful. It hurts real bad. So it's like goat heads. They become briars. And they're sticky people to be around. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of the watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. He said it's all gone downhill. The whole thing, the nation is in such a dire and tragic situation. He said, trust not in a friend. That's sad. You couldn't trust your friends. Put not confidence in a guide. He'll lead you the wrong way. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. Don't even trust your wife, he said. Well, that's a serious situation. This is a bad thing. The son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Can't even trust the people in your family. This is the situation that Micah finds himself in. This is the condition of the nation of Israel at this particular time. And then he says, therefore, I like this. He said, I will look to the Lord. When you can't trust anybody else, you can still trust Him. When everybody else has failed you, He has not. When everyone else has gone the wrong way, He's still the way, the truth, and the life. You can safely trust in the Lord because He will not fail. He said, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation because my God will hear me. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we can live with the confidence that God knows. God understands, and God will work in our behalf. Now, I want to explain an important principle to us here today, that God will allow people to suffer. He did not spare Himself. I said He did not spare Himself. So don't you get the misconception that somehow Christians are going to live life unscathed, and that we're not going to have some suffering in our lives. And that people are not going to do us wrong. Because they are. And that there are not those that are going to lie to you and those that are going to disappoint you, because that's going to happen in your life. Jesus said, that's going to happen. It's going to happen to try your faith. God is not going to pamper you all the way to heaven. Amen. God is not going to shield you from difficulties. And God is not going to shield you from evil. He's going to let it come your way. Now He's going to be with you. And He's going to strengthen you. And He's going to guide you. And He's going to guard you. But you're going to go through some situations in life. As a matter of fact, there are places that Christians suffer far more than non-Christians. I'm talking about on the level of righteousness. They do. Now, sin has its own suffering that is not of God. The Bible said that if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. But if you're just suffering for sin's sake, you're just suffering. It has its own suffering that just comes with it. But when you suffer for righteousness' sake, then you are suffering with a reward. And God has a reward in mind. So folks, don't think that there's not going to be suffering in the Christian life. Because there is. Because there is. That may not be something we want to hear, but it's something that we need to hear. That may not be something that we like, but it's something that we must understand. Otherwise, when those things come, your faith will be overthrown. But understand that even if you're righteous and live for God, there's going to be a certain amount of suffering that comes for righteousness' sake. You will suffer simply because you are right. Amen. Is it worth it? Yes, it's worth it. Go ahead and be right. Suffer if you must. There were people that are in prison because they're right. There were people that became martyrs and laid down their lives because they're right, not because they're wrong. So suffering, righteousness has a price attached to it. Amen. And we've got to go ahead and be right regardless of what comes our way. So the apostle or the prophet says, I will trust in the Lord. I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. He will hear me. Amen. Everybody say wait. Boy, I'm not real good at that. How about you? Woo! I'm not real good at waiting. I mean, I don't even like red lights. I don't like waiting. I'll go out of the way to miss one. Even if it takes me longer. Because I just don't like to wait. At least I'm doing something. I'm making some progress. I'm moving forward. I'm not sitting there. Amen. And if I've learned that if I take a book with me while I'm sitting, at least I can read a few verses before I have to go. I just hate sitting. I hate waiting. That's probably why the Lord keeps making me do it. Because you're not learning very well. So wait some more, son. Amen. I don't like to wait. But he said, I will wait on the Lord. Now we've talked about this before. It's from the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the 31st verse. It said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. That's when you're waiting on God. That is, but waiting doesn't mean that you're sitting around twiddling your thumbs, making excuses for inactivity. But waiting on God is actively looking for Him and being sensitive to Him and trying to decipher and discover exactly where He is and what He's doing and what He is requesting of us. Amen. We can't just say, well, I'm just waiting on God. Huh? No, that's not how you wait for Him. You're looking for Him. He uses the illustration here of the eagle. And we've mentioned before, when the eagle is up there, it looks like he's not doing anything. He just got his wings out. And he just, you see him and he's just flitting across the sky with his wings out. And he's just dropping down and down and down. And all of a sudden, he begins to go around in circles. Because he found a heat thermal. And that thermal, he'll ride that as high as it'll go. And when it exhausts and it runs out, then he begins looking for another one. And when he finds another one, it lifts him up again. And he rides that until he's exhausted, and then he goes and looks for another one. He said, that's how you wait for the Lord. And then when the Lord gets through with blessing you one way, you start saying, now where are you now, Lord? What are you going to do this time? Amen. That was Sunday. You did a wonderful thing. We had a great service. But what's going to happen today? What about this day? What are you going to do now? And so you're constantly seeking and searching, looking for the presence of the Lord, because you understand that when you find Him, and you know when you find Him, then it lifts you up and it takes you somewhere on a spiritual journey, and you ride that until it ends, and you say, all right, Lord, that was a wonderful experience. What's next? That's how you wait on the Lord. Amen. That's how you wait on the Lord. And Micah says, I will wait on God. That's the waiting that he's doing. He's actively looking and seeking God and looking for the next opportunity and the next thing that God's involved in, so he can get busy and involve himself in the same. Amen. So we're waiting on the Lord with the confidence that he's going to hear us. Amen. I'm so glad. That, you know, that's faith again, to believe that God's going to hear you when you call. Amen. He's not deaf. Amen. But He does hear. He does hear. Amen. Daniel prayed to the Lord, and his prayer was not answered instantly. At least he didn't think so. But what he didn't know was the answer was already on the way. It took a while to get there because he had to battle through the princes of Persia. He had to go through demonic activity, and he had to fight some spiritual enemies, but he arrived on the scene just in time. Amen. Praise. When we pray a prayer, we don't always understand what all is involved. Sometimes we're praying, God, I want you to change a situation. And God said, well, that's not what's best. I'm going to change you. And it's a little more difficult, a little more involved to change an individual than it is just to change a situation. But it's more lasting. If God can change Johnny Grissom to overcome any situation, that's a lot better than just constantly changing situations to fit me. Amen. God's the wiser one. So you can call on Him with confidence that He hears and that He answers. But you've got to also understand the answer may not be exactly what you designed. It'll always be God's will and God's way. That's the only way He'll do it. He's not going to do things our way every time. Amen. Wouldn't it be, you know, it would be just so simple to figure God out if I knew how He was going to respond every time. But He doesn't do that. That's why Martha and Mary, they sent off a letter to Jesus, and they said, come, he whom thou lovest is sick. Their brother Lazarus was sick and dying, and they just knew that Jesus was going to come and heal him. But He didn't. As a matter of fact, he got the message and he delayed his coming for 3 days. And when he came and finally arrived, Lazarus had already been buried for 4 days. It looked like he was way too late, but God knows how to turn a loss into a win. Hallelujah. And he said, now you've been through kindergarten and you made it past first grade. And now you're getting ready to graduate here. Said, now you understand that I'm a healer because you've seen me heal. But I'm going to show you something different today. Amen. I want you to understand, not only can I heal and deliver from sickness, he said, but I can deliver from death. I'm not only the great physician, but I'm also the resurrection, and I'm the life. Hallelujah. And he spake into the face of death and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus rose. Hallelujah. And he said, now we're graduating, folks. So you let God decide. You let God design. You let God lead you and guide you. Admire the journey and the things you'll learn along the way. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So Micah was in this kind of a situation where it looked like a loss, but he was looking for a win. And he knew that, hey, every time I obey God, I'm a winner. If I look to the Lord, and God's going to come through, and I'm going to be a winner. It looks like I'm losing right now. I'm in the minority here. I'm in a very small minority here. Amen. Praise God. Like the preacher one time, he was praying. He said, God, he said, I'm just a little one by a preacher. A one by a preacher. Amen. He said, and God said, what do you mean you're a one by preacher? He was talking about a one by four, one by lumber, just a little short, small preacher. He wasn't very tough, wasn't very strong. And the Lord said, you are a one by. He said, you're a one by nothing. I'm the one and you're nothing. Amen, that's right. We're all one by, aren't we? We're one, he's nothing. He's one and we're nothing. And you, the sooner you understand that, the better life goes. Amen. Praise the Lord. God doesn't need my effort, but he requires it. I said, God doesn't need my effort, but he does require it. When they got there to resurrect Lazarus, he said, you roll away the stone. That's your job. God always involves us, not because he can't do it, but he just always requires something of you and me. And I'm glad he does that. Wouldn't we get lazy if it wasn't for that? Amen. Brother Holly used to tell us, he said, God can tie your shoes, but he won't. There's a lot of things God could do, but he won't. He requires it of you. He requires it of me. There are certain things that God will not do for us. Amen. Praise God, because God is a God of righteousness and goodness, and he understands. So life's not fair if you hadn't figured that out. One of the first things a child learns when they learn to talk, it's not long after they learn to talk, they'll say, that's not fair. So-and-so's cheating. Life's not fair. And they get to be adolescents and they're still saying, life's not fair. And no fair. Then you get to be adults and you're still saying, that's not fair. It's not, is it? It's not fair. Abraham Lincoln made the great observation, all men are created equal, but some are more equal than others. Amen. Because life's not fair. All you got to do is look in a mirror to figure that out. Life's not fair. Amen. Just look around. Amen. Life is not fair. It's not going to be. God is. God's fair. God's just. God's righteous. God never fails. Amen. Life's not fair. Amen. So, and if you go through life with that attitude, life's not fair. Poor me. Amen. And you go through life like that. Some people do. They never get over the fact that life's not fair. Amen. And everything's not fair. And poor me. Because it's not fair. Amen. Everybody feels sorry for me because it's not fair. That's how you stay a loser. You lose and you keep on losing, and you'll always lose because you're just a loser. But let me tell you how to turn a loss into a win. Amen. He was a twin. He had a brother named Alex. His name was Ben. His brother is whole and healthy and strong. Same one, same womb, same time, same mother. Can't explain why, but Ben has cerebral palsy and his brother at the same time is whole. So he grows up and he's got a handicap. He's intelligent, he's brilliant, makes good grades, a member of the National Honor Society, but he walks with spastic movement. Great difficulty. And because of his handicap, he's always left out. He never gets to be a part. He wanted to play football, but he couldn't make the team. He wanted to play basketball, but he couldn't make the team. So he didn't let that defeat him. That's what I can't do. And so he decided there is something that I can do. He said, I can run with a cross-country track team. Because I'll only be competing against myself. So his mother applies and tells the coach the situation. He says, bring him on. And so Ben has a surgery, and they cut his bone, his femur, and they rotate his leg 40 degrees and goes through the pain of that drastic surgery so they could straighten that foot enough just so that he could begin to run a little bit. And every morning before the sun, as the sun rises, you'll see him outside, and you'll see him his spastic journey as he begins to run with great effort, but he's running. Great activity, but he's running. And you know what? He made the track team. And he started running. And every race that he ever ran, he was last. Whatever race he ever ran, he finished. Not one time did he every time he'd fall. Often he'd fall. And he'd get bruised and he'd bleed. Because you see, his brain did not recognize he'd fallen until he hit the ground. So he hit hard. And he'd get back up. People would help him and say, no. It'd interrupt my flow. Let me get up. And he'd struggle back to his feet. And he'd keep running. It wasn't like everybody else was running. But he was running still. And they would finish the race. And 20, 30 minutes after everybody else had crossed the finish line, Ben still running. He's going slow, but he's going. And he's got one thing on his mind. I'm going to finish what I started. It's not fair. But I'm going to do it anyway. Because I can. Amen. His mind's made up. They asked him after he was getting ready to run his last race. They said, Ben, what are you going to miss most about this? He said, the fact that I'm a member of a team. I'm just a member of a team. Amen. They all finish before I do. But I always finish. As a matter of fact, he said, I have never not finished. I have never not finished. Some years ago, the Air Force One touched down in Greenville, South Carolina. And the red carpet was rolled out. The president stepped off the airplane. He was there to see somebody. And he brought an award with him. And it wasn't the fastest runner that he came to see. And it wasn't the strongest athlete that he came to see. And it wasn't the one that won the beauty pageant that he came to see. He had come to award a young man by the name of Ben Cohen. He said, I've got something special for you, Ben. Because you see, Ben never quit. That's how you turn a loss into a win. You learn what Micah said. He said, when I fall, I shall rise. I shall rise. It's not even a question. I'm going to bounce right back up. I might be bruised. I might be bleeding. I might be hurt. But I'm going to get right back up. And I'm going to keep on running. And I'm going to keep on pressing. And I'm going to keep on going. Because nothing is going to stop me or get in my way. Man. One of the beautiful things that Ben learned was after one race one time, everybody already finished. Everybody was waiting for Ben to finish because they knew he would. And they saw him way in the distance. And he had a little sister. And she watched that speck as he got closer. And when her heart couldn't stand it anymore, she jumped up. And she ran to where Ben was. And she fell in behind him. And she slowed herself way down to Ben's pace. And she started running behind him. And when Ben crossed the finish line, his little sister was right there to finish with him. And the next race, his brother joined in. And then it became customary that the whole team would run the race and they'd all finish. And they'd wait 20 minutes and finally they'd see Ben coming. And they'd all run and get behind him. And when he'd fall, they'd wait till he got up because he don't want any help. And he'd struggle up and he'd press on and they'd press on with him. And after a while, he'd cross the finish line and the whole bunch would cross with him. Everybody would come. Amen. You see, when you're a winner, you don't run alone. Somebody will run with you. They may have to lag back, but you'll find some people that will not forsake you and not leave you. They'll not leave you alone. We're not running by ourselves, folks. Let me just tell you, you may feel like you're alone, but you're not. Let me show you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You see, you're not by yourself. You got a whole lot of people that are looking on. A great cloud of witnesses. Moses is cheering you on. Elisha is cheering you on. Elijah is cheering you on. Micah said, "When you fall, rise again. Don't stay down. Get up. Press on." You've got a great cloud of witnesses. You're not running by yourself. Amen. He said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." He's our pioneer. He's the one that ran the race first and proved that it could be done. Amen. So we press on. We've got to keep our eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Him. Amen. Because He's been there. He's been down this road. He made it. He made it through safely. And He's going to help us to make it the same way. Amen. So you turn a loss into a win because you don't quit. You may lose. You may fall. You may feel like you're last. Everybody else is already ahead. Everybody else is finished. Everybody else gets it before you do. You have to work harder. Amen. I know it's a struggle. Everybody has some problems they deal with in life. Everybody. Some more than others. Amen. But struggle on, press on. Everybody has something. Amen. Everybody has a reason to quit if they wanted to. But just don't. Press on. Amen. Just be like Ben. Just keep saying, "No. You know, this is something I can do." It takes a lot of effort. And it's painful when I fall. But I want to keep doing it because I know I can. Just because I know that I can. Amen. Let's stand together today. Maybe you've messed up and you've fallen, but don't stay down. Amen. Learn from Micah in his situation and just say, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise." Amen. That's the difference in being a loser and being a winner. Anybody want to win today? Anybody got your mind made up? You're in this thing to make it all the way? Amen. Nothing's going to stop you now. Amen. Nothing's going to stop you now. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I can't quit. I've got too much invested. Come too far. Amen. Just simply because winning's worth it. Heaven is worth it. Pleasing God is worth it. Living for Jesus is worth it. Amen. Being righteous is worth it. I just can't quit. Amen. Even when I fall, I've got to get up. Can't quit. Can't stop. Got to go on. Amen. Anybody got winning on your mind? Praise God. Hallelujah. There's an altar here and there's strength in this house. Somebody that needs some strength today, it's waiting for you right here. If you'll just reach out and take it, it's there within your grasp. Amen. Reach out to the Lord right now. Amen. Reach out to Him. Praise God. Keep your eyes on Him. Look to Him. Understand that that's where your strength comes from. That's where your inspiration and your joy come from. It comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, You're my strength today and my righteousness. I have nothing in and of myself. I'm nobody.
But you're everything. You're everything. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's love Him. Let's worship Him. Let's reach out to Him this morning. Amen. Don't go away empty when you can go away full. Don't leave tasting the ashes of defeat when you can be drinking deeply from the wells of victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go with joy and peace and the Holy Ghost power. Amen. To strengthen our steps as we leave this place today. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're my victory. You're my triumph. You're my strength and my joy. You're my peace and you're my righteousness. You're my perfection, oh God. Hallelujah. Everything I need is in you, Jesus. It's all in you, Lord. Hallelujah.
And it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Or how
oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
But it's the end that's so hallelujah. Important. Oh, I've just got to make it in.
Right. That's right.
Nor the one.
Hallelujah.
Who stands for a day.
Thank you, Jesus.